Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Sasquatch Odyssey. Thank you guys, as always, for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the show tonight. We've got an amazing guest coming up here shortly for you guys. It's Ralph from British Columbia, Canada. Ralph's got some amazing stories to tell us here shortly, but as always, I want to open the show and invite you. If you've had an encounter and you'd like to be on the show, please send me an email. You can get me at brian@sasquatchodyssey.net. Folks, the show is not anything without you guys. This show is all about your encounters, your stories, telling them in your own words. So please, if you've had an encounter and you want to be on the show, reach out, shoot me that email. Make sure you include your contact information so I can reach you via phone. And as always, thank all of you guys for listening and making the show what it is. So we're about to go and talk to Ralph. As I said, he's had some amazing stories starting back when he was like 16 years old and up to recent history. He's on an Indian reservation up there. He has a restaurant up there. And I've purposely taken the name out of the reservation at Ralph's request. He said the name of the reservation during the interview, so I actually took it out for him at his request. So if you hear a little glitch in the audio, that's what it is. But I want to get to Ralph and let him tell his story in his own words. So without further ado, let's get it started tonight. Welcome to the show, Ralph.
Hey, how you doing, Brian? Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely, man. The pleasure's mine. So I understand you've had several encounters with Sasquatch, the first one being when you were like 16 years old. If you would, for the audience, just sort of walk us into what you were doing that day, where you were, and tell us what you saw.
Okay, I reached from Winnipeg, Manitoba, and I went out to the BC coast area to visit my cousin out there. And then we were going to go strawberry picking out in Chilliwack. And then when we got there, the strawberry picking season was over. So we decided to climb a mountain just for the hell of it. And we were about halfway up, and we came to like a clearing meadow, and we stopped to have a rest. And then I was trying to scare my friends, and I seen a big red tree stump, and I said, "You guys, look, a bear." And from the corner of my eye, I seen some movement, and I turned to my left. And there's like a family of Sasquatches that looked like they're standing upright, but looked like they're picking berries off a tree or something. And then they looked our way. And then I said to my friends, Ned, I said, "You guys look that way, but start walking back the way we came, real slow. And nobody get scared or excited and start running." Of course, they start picking up the speed and start running back down the mountain. And we're running down this mountain. It took us like 2.5 hours to get up there. And we're sliding down 6-foot high grass and heading back down. And we could hear movement like they were coming to check us out and that. We got back down to the bottom by the road there. And we went in the middle of a rushing river. And we're calling for people to stop their cars to pick us up so we could get out of there. And we're just like really terrified. And that's the first time that I seen Bigfoot, Sasquatch.
Man, I can only imagine. How many of these things were there that you guys saw out picking berries?
It looked like there's two adult ones, and there looked like there's two smaller ones that were there with them.
How far away were you when you saw them?
About 200 yards away.
So relatively close. That's not a huge distance. Could you, that distance, I mean, 200 yards is a pretty good ways when you're looking at something with the naked eye. Could you make out any details? Is there anything you can tell us as far as the size? Were they all walking upright?
Yeah, they looked like they'd be standing around 8 feet tall. And lots of hair on them, and their arms were long, and they sort of just looked at us like a curiosity look, because what were we doing up there? But in that area in Chilliwack, there's lots of sightings out there that I didn't know about until till that time, then I started reading books about them and that. And then around that area, there's lots of Sasquatch sightings out there.
Could you make anything out as far as the face is concerned? Did it look more man-like? Did it look more ape-like?
It was kind of hard to tell from that distance, but it stood up like a man, and its movements were almost like a man, but they basically just sort of turned their body to look at us, and that, and then we started to head her back down the mountain real quick.
So, yeah, I bet it didn't take 2.5 hours to get down, did it?
Yeah, it just didn't take us that long to get down. But wow. It was like scary going down. We were like in a panic, just rushing to get back down and that.
Right, and I'm sure it was going through your mind, like, I don't know if these things are coming after us, right? Because they could have very easily decided to give chase. So that was your first experience. Tell us about the next experience that you had.
Okay, like where I live, we're surrounded by mountains and vast forests and that. And I go hunting with my son and my daughter, and I take my grandkids with us sometimes. And then we do a lot of quadding and that out here, going 6-hour quad rides. And we see like a lot of structures and that out around this area, and just really weird things. And we usually camp around that area. We'll go camp there for like a week or two. And one time, me and my son, we were sitting by the campfire, and it was like 1 o'clock in the morning. We're having a couple beers, and then we're watching this light that was up over the mountain there. And I asked him, I said, what star is that? I've never seen it before. And then, so we kept watching it, and all of a sudden this star, whatever it was, started pulsating like a bright light. And then it was like a bright fluorescent teardrop dropped into the forest up on the mountain. So we hopped on our quads to go up there to investigate. And then we got up there, and then we were looking around, and then I seen up in the sky, there's like three sort of like square boxes, but all you could see was the outside of the boxes that were illuminated, and they were coming towards us. So then we hopped on our quads, and we said, we'll get out of there. So we started racing down, and then we seen another bright light just swoop in between these two mountains. And when we got back down below, and then we're going to bed. So I went to bed, and then my son was sleeping in his camper, and then he got up in the middle of the night to have a cigarette. So he had a really big dog out that he owned. It was like a Great Dane. So he was sitting outside having a cigarette, and then from where we seen that light, all of a sudden there's like a great big loud roar that came up from the mountain there. And it just echoed, and he said his dog's ears just stood right up, and he was clawing to get back into the camper. And he told me about that in the morning. That happened like about 4:30 in the morning. So the next day we're still camping there, and then we're having like a little karaoke party, and we had some other campers over and that. And I guess we're making a lot of noise. And then whenever I went to bed, and then I was in the trailer, my wife wanted to watch a movie. So I turned the generator on so she could watch a movie. And I got up around 4:30 in the morning, and I heard the generator running. So I got out of my RV, and I went to go turn the generator off. And then as soon as I rounded the corner, and it was by a cliff, and there's a bunch of trees there, and since around the corner, and I heard whoop, whoop, like that, two whoops. And they were like, I'd say 20 feet away, and I could hear them clear as day. And it was like real dark, so I turned off the generator real quick, and the hairs in the back of my neck were standing up. So I just beelined it back into my RV real quick, like walking real quick enough. So there's things like that that's been happening where we're camping. And one day we're going hunting. So me and my son, we load up our quads and that, and we went out hunting. And then we went up this mountain, and then we got pretty high up there, and then we came to like a ridge area. So we stopped there, and then we were looking with our binoculars to see if we could see any deer around. And then my son said to me, he says, "Hey, Dad, what's that?" He says, "Is it what I think it is?" And then I took a look, and it was about, I'd say, a mile to mile and a half away on another mountain. It was walking upright up an old logging road, and it was Bigfoot going up this road, and he kept turning his shoulders and that with his head to look behind them. And then my son said, he said, "Dad, there's a truck racing up that road." And then I looked to go look at the truck, and it was racing up the road. And I went back to the Bigfoot, and the Bigfoot was gone. And then this truck that was racing up there stopped exactly where we last seen the Bigfoot. And I guess it hightailed it out of there. And these people jumped out, and they're looking on the ground and looking around. I guess they must have seen it too, and they're trying to see if they could spot anything. So we ended up heading back to camp about an hour later, and we're just going to get something to eat, and then we're going to head back out. And then my daughter and my grandkids want to come with us, so we took them with us, and we're heading back out up the mountain and that. And then I seen a bridge, and I said, "I think this bridge will take us up to that road where we've seen that Sasquatch." So then we start going up the mountain there, and we kept getting higher and higher up. And then we came to a couple clearings, and then my son, he was up ahead following deer tracks. And then we stopped, and then my grandson said to me, he says, "Hey, Papa, give a Sasquatch call." So I let one out. And then within, I'd say about 3 seconds after I did that, there was like howls all around us just echoing. And then we just sort of stood there and went, "Wow." And then my son, all of a sudden, when we're standing there talking, what did we just hear? And then my son seen him running down the road there with his rifle in his hand. And he's there, "Did you guys hear that?" He said, I was right by the bush there, and there's one right in the bush that howled. So I had my grandkids with me, and I said, "Well, maybe we should just head back." And then the kids all want to keep going. So I said, "Okay, well, keep on going." So then we went down about two or three miles down the road. And then we spotted a den that was in the bushes there. So we went to go check it out. And it was made out of tree limbs and that. Like they're about, I'd say, branches that were about 2-3 inches thick. And they were all wove into like a basket. And it would take a lot of strength to weave that into a basket, and it was like just solid. Then it was covered with like dry branches and leaves and that. And then there's like a front entrance and a back entrance. And we found a piece of like a driftwood that was in there, and it had like teeth marks on it. So I was thinking, I told him, I said, "Well, to me, that looks like a soother for something that was chewing on it." And then we collected some hair samples and that. We sent them off, but we never did hear anything back from where we sent them. And we were there for about an hour, and we found like about three of these dens. And you could feel that you were being watched there. And so I just sort of said out loud, I said, "We don't mean you any harm. We're just passing through, and we're going to be on our way." So then we just sort of packed up and left there. So we got back to camp and was telling my wife and everybody else about what just happened. And then I have a restaurant on in the Indian Reserve that the next day we went there. And I was talking with some elders that were there, and they said that they're up in the mountains up there, and they said they must have really trusted you guys that not to throw any rocks or sticks at you when we were by their dens and that, because usually they do that. So they said they must have really trusted you guys that you wouldn't harm them or anything. So I post that on Facebook, and then a lot of people were asking me for directions, how to get there and that, and I wouldn't post how, like, where we'd seen them and that, because I didn't want anybody go up there disturbing them and just doing the wrong things up there.
Yeah, I've heard that several times. There's lots of folks that have had sightings over and over and over again, and people are... You know, it's a double-edged sword, because people want to see these things, they want to be involved in it, but at the same time, when you have that type of encounter, and these things clearly weren't bothering you, you weren't bothering them, it was just one of those things, you know, you don't want to put a site out there and have a bunch of yahoos going up with guns and, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, I want to go back, if we could, to the lights that you saw before the second encounter with these things. Are the lights common there? Is that something that you've seen up there before? Do you think there's a correlation between the two?
Yeah, because it was bright, and I never seen that. Like, we thought it was a star, and that's what we thought it was at first, but then it was pulsating and getting bigger and bigger, and it was like fluorescent. As it pulsated, it got brighter and brighter. And then all of a sudden it was like a fluorescent teardrop just dropped right straight down into the forest. And so we figured that we'd go investigate up there. We hopped on our quads and drove away up there to go see what was going on. And then I seen those other lights up in the sky that were getting closer and closer, but they're moving like really slow. And I said, "We better get out of there." So we started racing back down. And when we're racing back down, there's another bright light that went and swooped in between these two mountains and disappeared. And then that same night, that's when my son heard a loud howl up in the mountains there, and he said it just echoed everywhere. And his dog, he had a really big dog, and his dog freaked right out.
Yeah, the lights absolutely fascinate me. I've had several interviews recently with people that have these things on their property, and it's an ongoing type, not a habituation site, but it's an ongoing thing. These things are clearly on the border of the property, and they're interacting with these people on a regular basis. And almost without fail, every time I've asked the question, "Hey, have you seen any strange lights or orbs?" And the answer is always yes. And I've heard this on other shows. I've heard it in other interviews. Mm-hmm. It's a fascinating, I don't know if it's a coincidence. I don't know if there's some sort of a correlation between Sasquatch activity and the lights. It just fascinates me because there's so many documented cases of it. And I'm always fascinated when people mention lights before having some sort of encounter or interaction with Sasquatch. And it just, and I honestly, yeah. I don't know what to make of it. I don't know if it's just some sort of weird coincidence that you're seeing. And I'm not saying the lights are UFOs. They're unidentified, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't know what they are. Nobody really knows what they are, I don't think. And it just fascinates me that you see those and then you see Sasquatch almost, and sometimes it's almost simultaneously. You know, there could be a few hours or even a day or so, but the lights are are there in a lot of the cases. I want to go back to the sighting after you guys saw these things the second time around. How far away were you when you saw it and the truck was coming up and the people stopped? How far away were you during that encounter?
That was about, I'd say, a good mile to 2 miles away, I'd say.
Oh, wow.
So, like, okay. We're on a ridge on one mountain, and then there's a river, and then there's the other mountain on the other side, and we're looking on our binoculars, and then, like, when we zoomed in with our binocs on it, we could see it clearly, the Bigfoot in that. And then my son seen the truck racing up there, and then what I found strange was, well, they seen it too, but I never heard anybody talk about it around here, mm-hmm. about that truck, but they stopped exactly where the Bigfoot was, where we seen it, and then it went into the forest, I guess, and got out of there real quick.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like to me they saw the same thing you did. When you were looking through the binoculars, did you get a good look at the face detail as far as, could you estimate height, weight?
Yeah, it was like it was walking up a steep road. So it was sort of hunched forward when it was walking up and then looking backwards. But I'd say it was a good 8 feet tall. And it was huge, and it had long hair on its on its body, and that. Mm-hmm. And it was its face was turned to the right when he was looking down, and then so I couldn't see the face that clear. Only when we first started looking at it, you could just see the side of it. But it was like, the funny thing too, what I was thinking about, like when we heard the howls and that, when we went up there, and like these howls were coming out from the forest everywhere, and it was like, it was loud and steady, and I had a dash cam on my truck. And my dash cam picked up my son running down the road yelling, "Did you hear that?" But I went over it, and I could not hear any of those howls on that, on when I played it back.
And that's really strange.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's because, like, it loops every minute. So I don't know if it looped right at that moment and missed the howls and that, but I just can't see how it did not pick it up, because I had my door open. I could hear the kids talking and that, and we're all out there talking, and they picked up my son running down the road yelling, "Did you hear that?" It just seemed weird.
But, yeah, that is strange.
Yeah.
I'm interested. And go ahead.
Oh, there's, there's lots of sightings around there, and like where I have my restaurant on in the Indian Reserve there, I hear a lot of stories from the elders that come down there, and a lot from the people too, that they, like, there's houses up in the mountains there, and they come right up on their porch, and they leave offerings, like a plate of offerings to them on their porch, and they'll be doing dishes in their kitchen, and they'll all of a sudden one of them will be looking in their window and that, and stuff like that goes on, and there's sightings on them on the road and that. And I actually had sightings by my restaurant there one time. And I went into the store, and they said, "You better go check out your place, because somebody's seen somebody in front of your place late at night when they're coming back across the bridge." So I went there, and there's big footprints, tracks all around there, and there's like fresh snow in the ground. And that the footprints came all the way from the back there, and there's like a 4 or 5 foot high fence, wire fence that was all along the river there. And whatever it was just walked over to that, and it came from the river there. And there's one picture I took, you could actually see the toes and everything, and that we had like shale on the ground, and it was like melted right down to the shale, so you could see the prints really good.
Well, that's fascinating. I'm always interested to hear that, you know, you go down and you talk to some of the elders. I'm curious, what did the elders say about these things? Because I hear people and you know, some of the, you hear people doing interviews and on some of the other shows, and people call people flute players, these people that think that Sasquatch is the friendly forest giants, and they're going to go out and pick flowers together and hold hands and walk through the forest.
Yeah.
I'm always curious, well, because if you look back in some of the Native American history, you know, they talk mm-hmm. about these things and they call them cannibals, and they say, you know, if you hear them or see them, you need to go the other way because they're not friendly yeah. forest giants. I'm curious, have you talked to the elders there about
that? Yeah, they teach the kids in that. If they see them, they said, don't ever look in their eyes because their eyes are red and they'll hypnotize you and take you away. And there's like, I talked to one elder there. His nickname was, or his native name was No Fear. And as a kid, he would go up in the mountains by himself and he'd pack a lunch and go up there. He loved being up in the mountains and that. And he told us, he said, one time he said, I sat on a log and then all of a sudden a Bigfoot came and sat on that log with him. And he said he wouldn't turn and look in his eyes. And he said he reached in his bag and handed him a sandwich. And then the Bigfoot took the sandwich and then got up and started walking away eating it. And then he looked at him when he was walking away. But he'd tell us stories about them on the reserve and that. And like one time they called me up and they said, you got to come down here real quick by the old dump there. And it was just fresh snow, and there was tracks everywhere, but it was like small tracks. It must have been the babies, I guess. And they said that the two adults were up on the cliff there watching them play, and there's a house right there. And there's like, they're running all around there, and it was like the heel and the middle part of their foot was like almost round like a ball, and then the little toes in that, and you could see them clear as day. And I took a whole bunch of pictures of them in that, and I put my foot next to them, and I had them on my computer, and my computer crashed and I lost those pictures.
Oh, but no, I was just gonna say I'd love to see them.
Yeah, but my friend that called me up, she took pictures too, and I was just talking to her last week, and I asked her about that. I said, do you still have those pictures? And she says, yeah. So I'm going to get those pictures off her and I'll make the copy and post them on the internet there.
Okay.
And I could send you some pictures too.
Yeah, that'd be awesome if you'd email them to me. Once the episode's up, I'll definitely put them under the episode for everybody to see. It's fascinating stuff, man. I feel like we could talk a lot longer, but I would love if there's anybody else. I know, you know, it's tough to get mm-hmm. people to talk about their experiences and whatnot, but if there's anybody else mm-hmm. around that has had experiences that would like to come on the show and share it, I would absolutely love to have them on. So please send them my way. You know,
we have so many experiences out here. Like when I go out hunting, like one time I took my dog and we're up in the mountains and we're just, driving down this river, and it's surrounded by mountains, like almost close together. And then it was all like fresh snow, and we're driving down there. And then I was only like about, I'd say 20 miles from the main road. And then all of a sudden, there was like, it sounded like a World War II siren. It just went, and it just went on and on and on, and it just echoed right through that whole area, and my dog's ears just went straight up. So I didn't even have time to try record that on my phone, and so we kept going. I went about, I'd say 3-4 more miles up the road, and then I always stop by this great big cliff where there's a bunch of gravel, and I let my dog out to go do his stuff and that, and then my dog jumped out, and then all of a sudden he just stood in his tracks, and he started growling, looking up at this cliff. And then I could hear, like, gravel coming down the cliff and that, and I was looking. And then all of a sudden, there's trees up there, and they're about a good 10, 12 inches thick. And I could hear them snapping like toothpicks up there. And then my dog would just kept growling. So then I didn't know what to expect. So I got my gun out of my truck, and I just sort of leaned against the truck, and I was waiting to see what was going to come out. And then I was thinking, you know, we're out here in the middle of nowhere. We just better get heading back. So I got my dog back in the truck, and we started heading back. But down that area there, I get lots of experiences with, like, a friend and me were out hunting, and then we stopped by this little clearing, and then we're just sitting there having a cigarette, leaning against a truck, and then we seen these deers come whipping out of the forest there, and he went running towards the river. And then all of a sudden I could hear from where they came running out, there is something coming, and it sounded like an elephant. That's how heavy the foot, like the when it was running, you could hear it just go thump, 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 thump. And like when I'm hunting deer, and that, you could really hear the deer when they're jumping and that running. But this was massive. And then all of a sudden it stopped in the behind the trees where the clearing was. And we're just sitting there. And then all of a sudden you could hear two rocks clanging together. And they're clanging these rocks and that. And then my buddy, he's from England and doesn't know much about them. And I guess he watched a couple of things. And then I said to him, I said, do you think that's a Sasquatch? And then he says, I think we better get out of here. So then we got up and we left right away. But yeah. I see lots of stuff where you see like a great big long huge tree limb that's balancing on another tree that's been snapped, and that thing will be sitting there. Like I went there 3 winters and that thing's still sitting there, not blown off, not knocked off from heavy snow. It's just balancing there. It's just crazy.
Yeah, it's fascinating. So you've had all these encounters, and you've experienced all these things, and you've talked to some of the elders and the other people. So
yeah.
What do you think these things are?
I think they're from, like, they've been here for since the time began. And because they used to, like, the natives always talked about them. They said that you would see them like you would see a deer or a bear in the forest. That's how common they were. But when man started building towns and cities and roads and railways, then they're getting pushed back into the mountains and the wilderness and that. And so I'd say they're always there. And you hear so many stories that go way back, explorers that seen them and they're always there, and they always will be there.
I definitely tend to agree. Well, absolutely fascinating stuff, man. I can't thank you enough for coming on and sharing your experiences. I really appreciate it very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me on here. Real experience, man. I just love talking about them. And a lot of people, when you talk about them, they think you're crazy or something. But, you know, until they see them themselves, then they'll realize that they're not a joke, and they're not just people going out there making fake tracks and walking around in monkey suits and that. They're out there. And I had a stepbrother back home in Winnipeg, and he lived out in the reserve about 50 miles out from Winnipeg. And he had a counter. He was babysitting, and he went out in the front deck to have a cigarette, and he lit up his cigarette, and there was one face-to-face with him. He was, like, he was about 5'10", and this thing was standing on the ground, and the porch was a good 3.5-4 feet off the ground, and he was looking him right in the face, and then he just let out a scream, and then the Sasquatch took off, went running back towards the forest, and then he called the RCMP, and then there's a bunch of people with the radios that pick up signals, and then next thing you know, he said there's hundreds of people out on the property, and they took castings of the footprints and that, and he kept a couple of them, he said. But I was in the library out here one day, and I was just looking at some books on Bigfoot and that, and then his story was in there, so, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, that's a pretty awesome story.
Yeah, and I hear so many stories all the time from my relatives and friends and that of this way. A lot of people don't, if they see something, a lot of them won't even talk about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, keep me posted, man. If you come across anything else or anything else happens up there, and once you get those pictures, just contact me and shoot me an email and let me know. And if anything else happens, keep us up to date, and we may have to have you back for another show, man. It's been fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
I appreciate it very much.
Well, thank you for having me on here.
Absolutely. Have a great night.
Yeah, you too, Brian.
And that's going to do it for tonight's show. Folks, remember, if you've had an encounter and you'd like to be on the show, please shoot me an email. You can get me at brian@sasquatchodyssey.net. Have a great night, folks, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.